Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all, and of course, Thursday means that we're one step closer to the weekend, so happy weekend as well. We got a big show for you tonight. We got to talk about this quote-unquote cliffhanger on Survivor. We got to discuss that. We need to discuss a double elimination on the challenge. We got not one, but two people leaving last night. And the premiere of The Voice, John Legend, his first couple episodes as a mentor. We'll talk about how he's doing, how those mentors are interacting with each other, and how the season is going in general. But before we do any of that, I have to say good evening and hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Oh, just chilling like a villain. What's up?
Well, a lot. We got a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about. And as always, I always want you guys to be part of the conversation. So please hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. You can also find us on Facebook. And we're at Edge of Reality on Facebook. And if you want to hear what we thought about Survivor 7 years ago, you can do that too by checking out our archives on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. Because, you know, 7 years ago, we were talking about Survivor. That was happening.
Yeah, we were. I don't know if I still listened to the show, but yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't that reality. It wasn't the other one, was it?
No. No, it was this, I think.
We're going back in the past with that one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Reality Tuxedo. Remember those days?
Oh, I certainly remember those days. I certainly do. All right. Let's talk about this cliffhanger. I want to jump right to the ending of Survivor last night, where we saw this cliffhanger of Keith, who had just been voted out after a very stressful episode for me, because, you know, I'm such a hypocrite, Priscilla. I'm just going to call myself out for being a hypocrite. We have seen countless seasons of reality shows, and they bring back veterans, and I hate it. And especially veterans and rookies together in the same season, and I hate it. And then Survivor, and I always go, when are these, you know, rookies going to get it together and start targeting the veterans immediately? And Survivor, this season, the rookies are actually doing that. They're actually thinking ahead. They're doing these things. And instead, I'm like, oh, my God, if Kelly Whiteworth goes out this week, I get so angry about it. I'm a complete hypocrite. I completely admit it. I don't want Wentworth to go. I don't want her to be in danger. But at the same time, I understand that the rookie has to do what a rookie has to do. So I'm bummed about this. But anyway, it was a very stressful evening. I was worried about Wentworth. I did not want her to be the second person eliminated. We got Keith leaving instead. He goes, he's angry. He's not happy that he's been voted out. He makes an amazing comment about, you know, because he was voted out because he's not the strongest in challenges. He's not the best. I mean, we watched him almost drown in this in the first episode. He says, well, good luck winning challenges now, which is true. That tribe is terrible, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he comes to the fork in the road, and if he goes one way, he gets to continue the game and go to Extinction Island. And if he goes another way, he quits the game immediately. And we don't know what decision he makes. I mean, do we really, does this need to be a cliffhanger, Priscilla? Don't, first of all, don't we know that, of course, he's going to go to Extinction Island? Of course that's going to happen. Why would he not do that?
Why did he have to spend 5 minutes for Jesus to give him the answer is my question.
I don't know. And the only
thing, go this flipping way.
The only thing I can think is this. You know, he is 18, 19. He's young. He's just been in this, like, super intense experience. I heard Andrea Belke. She was on Dalton Rousset from Entertainment Weekly, who's a huge Survivor, like one of the major Survivor writers. He has a morning radio show, and I heard them talking about it. And Andrea said, look, you get voted out, you go into a weird headspace where you just kind of black out, and you don't exactly know what's going on. And then beyond that, you kind of go, there's a little bit of relief where it's like, okay, I'm so angry that I just got voted out, but I'm going to get to eat. I'm going to get to shower. I'm going to get to sleep in a bed. And you have all these feelings kind of like, okay, you know, bubbling up. And then all of a sudden you have this choice to make. So I'd like to think that that is the reason why it took him so long. And maybe everybody else had like a very quick reaction to it. And that's why he's the perfect person to do a cliffhanger on. But at the same time, do we really need one? Does it really matter? Do we really care? You know, if Keith ends up going home, if he decides to quit the game, I'm not going to be super upset by that, or I'm not going to really care. And if he goes on the island, I mean, I don't think he's going to come back. I don't think he's the guy that is going to reenter the game. His game is over for all intents and purposes. So it really doesn't matter what he does. I was just surprised that this was going to be the point of drama in the game. It was very reminiscent of like challenge editing or Bachelor editing, where they, you know, they leave us at this cliffhanger that doesn't really mean a ton. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on it, Priscilla. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was stupid myself. And like I said, and even more stupid that we had to have, even in the outtake, if you notice, and I even rewound it because I was really bummed that we had to hear 5 minutes of that and didn't get to see how everybody actually voted. Because that's a telltale on some things of how people voted. I learned a lot of stuff watching the very end of how everybody voted, you know, for the rest of my season. I hear it around that. So I was a little pissed off we had to hear that and not get my ending vote. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I noticed that too. I noticed that we didn't get the voting at the end, the ending, you know, scroll where we see how everybody votes. Because you're right. It is very interesting to see how people vote. Sometimes you know, and sometimes it's you're like, who did that? How did that vote break down? So, yeah, I completely agree with you.
I think it's telling in some cases.
There's some things, you know, Survivor, and we noticed this a lot last season, like they've been attempting to play with the editing a little bit more. And I was very, for the most part, pretty happy with the some of the editing choices that they made last season. They did some really funny stuff, like really great stuff last night. I mean, Aubrey, I mean, what they did with Aubrey's footage of just her telling everybody how they reminded her of her. I mean, that was great. That was funny. That was great editing. But this choice of leaving Keith's decision into next week, I just don't necessarily get it. Because he's going to go to Extinction Island. That's going to happen. Right. And if he doesn't, that's just weird. And Dalton Ross said this morning, he said he asked Jeff Probst about it. You know, how many people does he think are you know, not going to go to Extinction Island? And he said, if somebody doesn't go to Extinction Island, that's like a bad choice on our part in terms of casting. So, you know, they didn't really anticipate people not making that choice. So it was just a very interesting place to leave in the episode. My other thought was this. I know that they're trying to give us a little bit of, like, this reveal. We want to see the reveal of people, contestants finding out, contestants who are just voted out, finding out that they still are in the game. They still have life in this game. Don't you think, I was thinking about this, don't you think it'd be more interesting, instead of seeing them walk up to this sign, that you actually, they're like, okay, get on this boat. You get on this boat, and then you go right to this island. Kind of like, you know, the challenge. They've done that with their Redemption House, where it's like, they're eliminated. They think they're going home. Oh, wait, what is this house? They think they're staying at this house overnight until they can get plane tickets to go wherever. And it's like, boom, no, it's Redemption House. They're still in the game. Kind of something like that, where it's like all of a sudden, boom, boat. Wait, I've landed on this deserted island. Wait, there's Reem, who was just voted out last week. And here we go. The game's not over. I think that would be much more bang for your buck in terms of the reveal. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm trying. I not put that much thought into that part of it as much as just is the cliffhanger also from not just making the decision of what way to go, which, like you said, is kind of silly. Putting them on both, that's fine. But do you think they're going to go to separate locations or the same location?
Oh, I mean, that's a good question.
But that's where my head went as well. Because it says to go to a boat. Is the boat going to take you to a different part of the island where you're still by yourself? Exile?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I assume they would be together.
They made a specific point of having her in the end saying if nobody else comes, she's considering leaving. So that's what I had already had this thought, and as soon as that edit was in there, I'm like, maybe they don't go to the same location.
I've been trying to see how this plays out, and I thought that maybe what would end up happening is that this, like, typically we see at this point of the game, like, as early as episode 3, the next episode, we would get a tribe swap. And maybe they would go to 3 tribes or you know, flip. I think they're going to stay where they are for a while, and these tribes are going to end up, like, there'll be a third tribe of, like, evicted players that they come back as a tribe and compete together as a tribe. And then there's some sort of mass exodus.
Good idea.
That is my thought. I could be wrong, and they might just compete individually when it comes time to re-enter the game. That's what I'm thinking. So in my head, I thought that they would be on this tribe together, and they would be on
that's
this island together.
Season.
Say that again?
That would make for a long season, though.
Well, I thought that too. It's like maybe there's this mass exodus of that. But, you know, I don't think that there's great payoff in having all of these people stay on the island, and then at the end there's this one competition and one person comes back in. I don't know. Like, I think that's kind of played out. you know, even like in Big Brother, when we have, you know, the jury buyback, which I hate that term, but that's what people end up calling it, where, you know, we've had, you know, eliminated players for like 5 or 6 weeks be in this house and get ready to compete. And then they're in this, they do a live show and they have this competition, and this 7 minute or 6 minute competition determines whether or not they're back in the game that they've been out of for possibly 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. And I don't know, I feel like we've seen that. We've seen that. So I think the idea of somehow they become a third tribe would be interesting. I don't know how that plays out, and I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I would like to see something like that happening and have it, for some reason, there be like bigger stakes in that. We'll see. But if they keep these tribes the way they are, I mean, the Kama tribe is just going to slaughter the other tribe. There's no way that this tribe is ever winning anything, you know, and I hate to see it's boring to see the same people go back to tribal council over and over again. It is one of the rare, you know, as much as we don't love three tribes, it's one of the rare positives of a three tribe game, is that we typically don't have to see the same people go, you know, there's more of a chance of a different tribe being at tribal council. But this, you know, Joey Amazing can win against this tribe single-handedly. There's no contest. So, you know, I think we're just watching Joey Amazing beat this other tribe until something happens. And that doesn't seem like a fun next couple episodes to me.
So what is your take on the first episode? I mean, like, what direction is it going to go?
I don't know. I hope that we see something different, a swap, a change. You know, I don't want the same tribe to be going back into the tribal council for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And one way it's interesting. Say that again.
Three tribes?
You know, I don't love three tribes, but I don't love three tribes, but I mean, whatever tribe Joey Amazing is going to be on is the tribe that's going to win. So I think three tribes, at least you have a second tribe who is safe as well. Joey is leading towards, running towards how he's played the game the other two times he's been, which is he is a beast, and then he's going to lose an individual immunity early in the merge, and he's going to go out, which is what happened the previous two times. I don't see, as much as he says he doesn't want to be Joey Amazing, that's who he is. That's what he's doing. And I don't see anything new from him. You know, he could go and I'm okay with it. But I want something different. I don't need another tribal council where, you know, we see Wentworth go, or we see it's between Wentworth and Wendy. You know, who cares? Well, I'll be mad if Wentworth goes, but, you know, I want something different. What?
Obviously you care whether it's Wentworth or Wendy.
Well, I mean, but okay. Wentworth is not long for this game anyway. You know, I understand that she's going to be leaving pretty early in this process. Wendy's going to be leaving pretty early in this process. You know, I can see something else. I'm very interested to see what David's going to do. David is the only returning player that I feel like has done well integrating himself into the game. And he's playing well. He's playing a little differently. He's kind of blending in nicely. And I think he's going to be not only the last returnee standing, but I think he's going to go super far in this game. I think he's in a little bit of an advantage because he's the only returning player that is – this is his second time playing, where Joey, Aubrey, and Wentworth, this is their third. And who knows, David might not be, you know, maybe not a lot of people saw his season. I think that might be a possibility. I mean, Wentworth especially, and Joey, and even Aubrey to a certain degree, they have these kind of larger-than-life, like, legend status in the game where, like, even if you are someone that doesn't watch every episode of the show, you know who Joey Amazing is. You know who Wentworth is. You know who Aubrey is. But you might not know who David is. You might not know how good he was at the game the last time he played it. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how he went down. And my love of Wentworth aside, I think David did the right thing by targeting her. Because if she goes, I know the argument is, well, then he's the only vet left, and they're going to target him. But I don't think so. I think it's a situation where she goes, they're going to forget that he's a vet. And I don't think that they'll target him. So I can see why he wants her to go so that he can have that. He can, you know, they're not connected anymore. So it's an interesting strategy, and I think it's the right one. Do you think that he should be taken? Yeah, talk to me about it.
I don't believe that at all because he actually, if you're a Survivor fan, if any of them people on their Survivor, whether or not, his is one of the newest seasons, and well, actually, his is the newest season, and they're going to watch that series or that season before going back to the others. For two, I think he goes after the merge very early, not as early as Joe, but he's definitely going to go within the first couple of after the merge. I don't care what they say, because once that merge happens, you're going to have all these other people reminding the people that are working with him in his group now, he's a vet. He needs to go. It's our chance.
I think that he will be in a position. Now, do you agree with me at the very least that he'll be the last veteran standing?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree that I believe that a rookie will win. I don't think any of these vets will end up winning. I think a rookie will win the season. That being said, what I think will happen is, and we've seen it time and time again, I believe that David's tribe is going to be decimated, and there's going to be a few people that are that can band together and stay true. On the other side, as you know time and time again, the longer you go without a tribal council, the more on your nerves you get. And the longer you go without going to a tribal council, the more people want to start throwing each other under the bus and getting each other out. So then you know that what do people do? They start going for the minority alliance because then they can pick them up and all of a sudden, boom, there are a super large majority and they can take out who they want to take out. And I believe that David would go in with that. So I believe that he has a better chance than going out early merge. Now, do I think you make the final three? Maybe not, but I think he's in it with a chance. The other thing that kind of sucks about having vets is this has been a very vet-heavy two episodes where we're seeing a lot from the vets. And I believe, again, part of the reason that we're seeing them so much is not only because they're, familiar faces and all that good stuff, but I also think that they're getting their bang for their buck. They're getting the footage for as many episodes as they have them.
Right.
More of an indication that they don't really last that long in the game. But the downside to that is they're going to leave the game and we're going to be left with rookies who we don't know a ton about. And then we're not going to care what happens.
Which is what,
we're not going to care who wins, who loses,
Right.
And that's the downside of vets and rookies together, is that, we're so focused on what the vets are doing, but very quickly we're going to get down to the rookies, and maybe we'll say, okay, now the game really begins and here are these rookies, but we might be 6-7 episodes in and we still don't have the best idea who most of these people are. So,
which is what happens any scenario of any reality show when vets come back. Big Brother's the same way.
Yeah.
They're always having vets, and we don't even, it's like, where the hell did that person come from? It's an Angela.
Absolutely.
Where'd they come from?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Lauren finding the idol. We finally got, yes, we got Angelina last season, all right? We got this whole build up to a woman, please find an idol, and we got Angelina finding the idol. But I'm going to put finding the idol in quotes, since she needed two men and a 90-foot ladder to help her with this. But here we go. We have Lauren finding the idol, and I loved that she it was Kelly's idea for everybody to look for an idol, which kind of gave everybody clearance to do it without, having to sneak around and do it. Lauren finds it. She doesn't tell anyone. I love that move. This is excellent. I hope she continues to not tell people.
Okay.
That's great.
You're a female, you're on the island, or actually you don't even have to be female, I don't give a shit who you are. How many seasons has there been? And the first clue, it has been won on one of the teams already, is it always within feet, either their water well or their tree mail?
Yeah.
First place to look. And it's never really that deep either. So is there another one in the same location on the other tribe? There usually is. It's usually on both sides.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, and we saw last week with the advantage, Ron Clark dug it up. It was by the well, too.
Yeah.
So
I'm saying,
and then he rolled around in the ground like an idiot.
Mail or water? Two places that somebody is always there at. It'd be the first two places
I
look.
You're on Survivor. You get on, you say hello to everyone, you say you're going to get some coconuts, and then you run to the well and you run to tree mail and you dig up all over the place to find the idol.
Hey, I'm just going to go check out, this is like Survivor history. I'm going to go check out my water well. I'm going to go check out my tree mail. You guys can do what you want. Build your little thing. I'm going to do a little tour first, get my gatherings. Where's my wood I got to go get? Where's my coconut? And then I'm just going to walk over and go, I'm going to find the damn thing.
This is why you're going to be voted out first.
Probably. You are probably right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now
this
we are
is,
in.
This is what
they have been there for a couple of days. They have had a chance to go do that. They were looking for that. Wow. So, damn it, look by tree mail or look by water.
Next week, is Ron's last opportunity to use his options of the game, his menu of options. I wonder if he can will it to the other tribe if his tribe wins and the other tribe loses. We've seen that with the advantage.
I would think so. I mean, he hasn't even been there yet.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that they want this advantage used. And, you know, as
but
it's going,
it should have been red in the... I'm sorry, it should have been red.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if he's able to will it and what that looks like. If it then becomes he chooses someone to give it to, and that person, we saw this with Chrissy and Ryan, you know, on Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers, where Ryan had an advantage that he couldn't use, and he willed it to Chrissy. I say willed, like they're off of the game, but they, I guess, donated it to Chrissy, and that's how Ryan and Chrissy became super close, and they became, you know, they were the two of the three finalists. They didn't win. Ben won, but, you know, we've seen this before where this could be an effective, huge game move if he donates it to the other tribe if they need it. So I'll be very curious to see if that gets to happen, and if so, who he chooses to donate it to. I think that will be kind of a fun game thing.
Sure, it's a relationship for the merge.
Right, which is always a good thing. And it would be kind of cool, though, if he, you know, just to have some sort of, you know, because they're just winning. They're winning. That's why, you know, that's why you can't use it. It would have been cool if he got to choose which advantage they got to use. Like, where it's like, you know, at least it's some sort of power where it's like, I'm donating it to this person and I'm giving them, you know, immunity, or I'm giving them, you know, a extra vote, or whatever the case may be. At least it's something. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I like the time sensitive ones, because then you don't have a RIP Ceri Fields like moment where, you know, 900 advantages come out and Ceri is the only one left and she has to leave. Situation, so I'm okay with time-sensitive ones, but then you get a situation where it's like, well, Ron was smart enough to stay on the boat and look for an advantage, and he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get that taken, you know, he doesn't get to use it. So we'll see what happens with that. Anything else from the show you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I wasn't overly fascinated with the show, and I think I would have rather seen a little more on Exile or about Exile, but whatever.
Yeah, I think you know, on the radio show this morning, Dalton Ross alluded to that we're going to see more next week with how this works and how, you know, they read something that said you have to work for everything you have here. And so we'll get to see that play out. What does that mean? So we'll see a little bit of more of Excel. I can understand why we didn't see that much of it this time around, because there's just Ream on it. You know, what are we going to see? So I'm assuming even more of a reason that we know that Keith is on there, because we'll see how it plays out.
Right.
We'll see how it plays out. So, you know, Keith is going to go over there, and then we're going to see what happens when there's two people there and what that looks like. If it's they compete and one person stays, but that's kind of like redemption, so I don't think that happens. Or if they have to work together to build this tribe, and then something happens when six people get on the island. So we'll see how that all transpires. Yeah, the first two episodes I haven't been like completely in love with. There are moments that have been great. Like I said, I'm interested to see more of the rookies and kind of get to know them a little bit more, because then by the time the vets leave, we'll have a better understanding of who we're into in the game. So far, though, I haven't super loved any of the rookies. Like, I find Ron pretty annoying. I find, you know, there isn't anybody that I'm like, oh, I like them. I want them to stay, you know, which doesn't make for a good season. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's talk Voice, because the premiere was this week, and we got to see John Legend, his debut as a mentor, along with Kelly Adam Blake. We've seen a couple episodes, or at least I have. Did you watch, Priscilla?
Yep, I sure did.
Okay, so what do you think about John?
I knew he was going to fit in well, personality-wise, with them. Sometimes I didn't like how over the legend this, legend that kind of thing with, you know, with the others. I'm already over that. You know how they play on words anyway. He mixes in well. I'm actually quite surprised that his team's fuller than the rest.
I'm not. I mean, he's a big deal. The Voice is able, you know, say what you want about Jennifer Hudson. She's an Oscar winner. John Legend is an EGOT. He has an EGOT.
Oh, yeah. And that's not a thing we've heard enough of.
Yeah, and he's an Oscar winner, too. I mean, these Voices pulling in Oscar winners left and right. I mean, they do a good job at getting this level of talent, this caliber of talent. So I can see that why that's huge. I can also see why, you know, if I were a contestant on the show, I think Blake and Adam's teams would be the last teams I would want to be on at this point, because I kind of feel like they're phoning it in a little bit at this point. I don't think they seem as excited or as engaged as they once did. Kelly's still Kelly, you know, so she's on a winning streak, and that's been good. I don't think she'll three-peat. But, you know, I think I would always try to go for, like, the newer judge, because it seems like they're the most excited. It seems like they're going to be the ones and most engaged to help you out. Because again, even though this show is somebody wins, you know, it ultimately doesn't matter who wins, because it's all about like making these connections and exposing you to an audience. You can still do very well and make a career for yourself in this field if you make the right connections, even if you don't win. So I think I would go to a newer judge at this point, or a newer mentor. I think I would choose either John or Kelly. That's my take on it. So it doesn't surprise me that his team is fuller. I thought it was good. I've liked some of the other interactions with previous mentors better, but we'll see. It's still new. But I did find myself, Priscilla, probably for the first time since I started watching The Voice, and you know how I watch The Voice. We've talked about this before. I watch everything up until the live shows, and then I'm out. It's one of the few shows that I'm completely okay with not completing, because I don't care about the outcome. The outcome doesn't really do it for me. It's everything up until I find interesting. So, this is the first time.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well,
oh, okay. I was going to say this is the first time that I started like not paying as close of attention as I have in the past. I started getting distracted. I usually fast forward through the majority of contestant packages and stuff like that anyway, because that's just, again, that's just who I am. I don't need to hear this person, a sob story, because it doesn't make me want to root for them more, because it's more about the talent, you know. So I typically don't do that. It was the first time that I kind of found myself not as engaged with the process during the blind auditions. Now, what were you going to say?
So I was just going to say, because I knew you were leading into the packages. I felt like they were a little bit shorter this time, but something else that I did like, that they only did it a couple times. I'm like, well, why don't they do that all the time to give us the full effect? Did you happen to notice, especially going into the group one for sure, they actually did not show us who it was. We didn't get a package beforehand. They just went straight to them. And at first I thought, okay, they didn't get a package, they're not around through the duels. And then they come on them. And it's like, I like that better.
Oh, I agree. They've done that a couple times throughout the seasons, and I've always thought the same thing. They should do that more, so we get the full experience of listening to it blind. I love it when they do that, because, again, you don't get a package. You just get to hear what they're hearing, and then we get to see what transpires from that. And, yeah, that happened with the trio, which they made a big deal about. This is the first trio that they have in voice history. I liked that was that they did that.
I've done it prior to that. And and my first thought was, okay, they don't make it through the duel, so we're not going to get a package to waste the time. And then I'm like, well, I really did like that. But then Carson actually made time to tell us that we were not going to see them. I'm like, okay, so they did this intentionally kind of thing. And then after they made a big deal about it, and then I knew. But I wish they'd do that actually more often. And that way we're getting the true blind effect as an audience.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot. I do like when they do that. I do like the blocking mechanic. I still think that that's a fun element to the game, where they get to block. They have one block that they can take somebody else out of the running for pushing a chair. I like that mechanic. I'm not a big, you know, they started last season like the Redemption Island, Last Chance Kitchen of it all, where they, you know, you can come back into the season. I can totally live without that, but I also find it like Bebe Rexha is the person who's doing it this year, who was the concert on Big Brother. Like, she is making the reality show rounds. So that kind of cracked me up that it was her this season. You know, I found that interesting. But I don't like the idea of it. There's so many moving pieces to the show that I don't think we need a somebody comes back, you know, kind of piece of it.
They changed it up too. Instead of waiting until there's four of them, they're battling each other as one comes in. So does
right.
that mean that so that the first person that was out keeps winning, and then they're back in more like Last Chance Kitchen kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. I still don't. I think there's so much competition and there's so many people to keep track of. It's very rare that they lose someone that's supposed to, like, that is so incredible that you're like, man, why doesn't this person come back? You know, you're typically not. There's so many people that you're not really thinking along those lines. So I can absolutely live without that mechanic in the game. But That seems to be where we're going, where you get a second chance to be in the game. Yeah, I'm rarely interested in it. There's a few times on Big Brother where you really want somebody to come back in the game. But other than that, I like when there's movement in the game. You know, it's my biggest complaint. Well, one of my biggest complaints about The Bachelor, when, you know, mid-episode, you don't see who goes, you know, who's getting roses, or in the challenge when you don't know who's going to go home. I want that movement. So when somebody comes back in, it feels like it goes backwards and you're replaying that again. And, you know, for the most part, it doesn't really end in anything. So it doesn't really do anything, except that person, for those people, they get a chance to be on TV and get a chance to be exposed, you know, their songs be exposed to everyone. So I guess it's a good thing for them. But anyway, in general, I feel like I'm starting to lose interest in The Voice, kind of very similar to how I started kind of losing interest in American Idol, where I was just like, all right, this happened. Also, just, you know, the song choices, I didn't recognize, this is me just getting super old. I'm very good at recognizing songs, but for these episodes, a ton of the songs I had no idea, I've never heard of in my life. And I was just like, where the hell are they getting these songs from? So I felt very old, and because of that, I was like, eh.
You're right up there with Blake then. I still would like to have a season that we have, because now we're back to three dudes and Kelly. I still want a season with Kelly and Miley on there together.
Yeah, I really thought Miley seemed very excited about The Voice, and I hope that she comes back. I mean, I can't see Kelly staying. Like, I'm surprised that Kelly did two seasons in a row. Kelly's getting very busy. I mean, she's on tour. There's rumors of a talk show. I can't see her doing. I hope that Kelly stays and does at least one season next year, but I can't see her doing both. I would, I hope Miley comes back. Oh. We haven't seen Gwen in a while, and you would assume that Gwen is somebody, you know, Gwen seemed excited about the prospect. You know, we haven't seen Alicia, and I loved Alicia Keys. You know, it's there's so many mentors that you kind of want to see come back that, again, we've talked about this a lot. I think that we could lose Adam or Blake for a season, and they could take a break, and somebody else could come in and then, you know, kind of rotate it out. Because I feel like Blake and Adam's presence there, I'm ready to see some new people.
Kelly's presence, I think, is so, I wouldn't say domineering, but she's got the personality where she can fill that position. She could fill that very easily. And the thing is, she is on tour now. I know that she's already shot the pilot of the TV show, or the talk show. So at some point, say the talk show does come in, it would be perfect for her to be able to do the talk show and do that as a day show, kind of, you know, night show, day show kind of thing, and not have to tour. The only bad thing is her family is stationed out of Nashville, you know, but I'm sure that they already have house in it. LA, I'm assuming. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that difficult other than the fact that she has a kid. But her kids are young enough. His kids are in school still, but they do have a mom they stay with, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm ready for one of the. I hope next year is the year that we see, like, Adam and Blake kind of vacate that. I think we need that. I can definitely see them kind of phoning it in. You know, I'm so surprised that they've stayed on this long.
I agree.
But it's
a good gig for them. It's a good gig.
I'm ready. I would love to see, you know, we've seen, you know, we could see a female country artist in Blake's place. Kelly is kind of there, but we could see, you know, I wanted to say Carrie Underwood immediately, but that's not going to happen.
Never say never.
Reba. Well, true. Never, but she's very tied to American Idol. She's even more tied to the new season, the new
FYI,
version of it.
Reba's back to tour again because I'm actually got tickets. We're going to her in June or July. So she's back touring, and she's touring smaller venues this time around. But she could be a good person. I mean, I this tour can't last forever.
I'm just trying to, but you know, we could see somebody else. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Let's see how this season plays out first. We're already casting next season.
This type of show is set up for revolving doors. Long as the chemistry.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, a few minutes left. I wanted to bring up the challenge because we got a double episode knockout with CT leaving this time around. So bummed out about CT. I hate how it went down. I have a couple thoughts on this in general. I was immediately like bummed out. My first thought was like, this is going to be a long season for us. I mean, I'm happy that we're seeing some new people, but they brought it up too during the tribunal. The UK contingent is a very strong contingent of people. You know, all of these people that are from the UK. It would be very weird to me. And I don't know if weird is the right word, but you know, what if one of the people from the UK win right off the bat? I think that's going to be weird for a lot of people. I think that there's a lot of people who are not going to find that to be a satisfying outcome to a season of the challenge, to have like a random person from Geordie Shore win the challenge. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to love it. I don't think that I'm going to like that as much. As much as I wanted some new blood, I don't think I necessarily want that. And I think we're kind of going towards that. I didn't think CT was going to win. He hasn't won in a while. I don't think he's ever going to win again. But not having CT there is just like one more person that you have that you're not going to root for. And we're left with, there's not a ton of people that I love Jenna, but you know, Jenna's not long for this game. I root for Leroy because he seems like a good dude, but yeah, all of these other players, there's not really a ton of people that you're rooting for. And I can totally see a scenario where someone from the UK wins the season.
They wanted to be able to level the playing field. They should have stuck their guns with the, like, real world, road rule, whatever, versus, like, Big Brother people. And give that, and you know how I remember when I first started watching, or got back into watching, I should say, it was the rookies and the vets, and this was a standard thing, and the rookies just got pounced on every single season. It's like just abuse, and these vets just sat back and never had to work for what they got. And I'm sorry, I don't care if you're a vet or not, you need to work for it. You're not entitled to be there at the end. You got to work for it. And by and they always had the vet alliances, that's how everybody got there, and that's where the old school rule, you know, Bananas and those guys and CT and all that came from. So I like the challenge that they are being challenged now. Like CT put it, he's become complacent because it's almost a given he's going to get to the finals or right to the end to be to the finals. So I love the fact that he was humbled. I love the fact that Bananas now, several years in a row, I told you, how many year seasons ago did I say the dude should have went out when he was on top, because now he's just going to be wallowing in self-pity. And that's exactly what happened to Bananas.
I agree with you to a certain extent. Like, and I don't need to see CT or Bananas win. I don't need to see them go far. But you know, if the season is won by like UK Ashley or it's not going to. I'm not going to care about that ending
Same thing, because you don't see them in other stuff. The challenge people that are there that are old school. You see Cara Maria in commercials on MTV. You see Bananas in interviews. You see CT in other interviews for other shows in between. I mean, you
right.
have that stable environment right now with those vets. I'm not saying people's way to go. I would have been better, and I think the audience would have been better. Nobody gives two shits about somebody we've never seen before or that's only going to be here for this particular moment. But bring in, like you said, Big Brother or Survivor people, people that love reality TV that's here that have somebody to root for. I agree
yeah.
with you. There's nobody to root for, you know, with the UK because we don't know them. Not
right.
everybody gets channels.
Not only do we not know them, but in the three episodes that we've had so far, there isn't really anyone jumping out at me. Now, granted, there's still a lot of people in this game, but there isn't anybody where I'm like, oh man, they're kind of cool. Oh, I like this person. I'm not, Turbo would be the closest to that. And we see that a lot. I think based on Turbo's edit, I think we get a lot of him. I think he goes a long way. I think it's funny, and I think they play with his, you know, his language acquisition skills and whatnot. But other than that, there isn't anybody who's like jumping off the page at me as someone who it's like, oh, they're someone to watch. Oh, they're cool. Oh, they're funny. Oh, they're whatever.
All we're seeing right now are vets on there. How could we?
Yeah.
We're not in airtime. So how could we know
true.
That?
True. Two last things I want to bring up. Man, I wanted Kyle to go home so badly. Not because I care about this Kyle, Cara, Maria, Polly, like any one of them can go home for me. I just need this triangle to end. I'm over this particular storyline. And as long as all three of them are still in the game, we are going to be so focused on that. And again, it's the same thing as you just said, the Survivor. Like, we're not going to see any new characters emerge until this trio play out. So they're like, in a way, they're like hurting the growth of the show because we are stuck on seeing, you know, the majority of the episode was based on the three of them. And I could have lived without that. So I really was looking forward to him going home. More than, you know, I wanted CT to win just to do that. But, and then No, go ahead.
The challenge is getting less and less about the challenge and more and more about the living arrangements.
Sure. Yeah, it's more about, and it's getting more and more about, and this is the detriment of having people repeat the shows. The positive, there's so many positives to it, but the negative is there's so much gameplay that happens off camera time that when the cameras are on, we're not quite sure what's going on or why alliances are formed the way that they are or how it works
right.
because, you know, they're doing their, you know, all of their plotting off camera. So yeah, I agree with you. The one last thing that I want to bring up really quickly before the show ends is that, the Big Brother players, they're not doing us justice here. You know, with the exception of Polly and, you know, Devon, who's kind of holding her own. We saw Natalie and Julia go this episode. We saw Morgan go last episode. Josh is being targeted constantly. I mean, the Big Brother crew is not doing us justice. We need them to get it together so we can we can get more people on from the show. And maybe that's they need to choose some different people. They're choosing people that for drama and not necessarily
right.
for their athletic prowess. And we need
the biggest thing is now was said too, even at Tribunal and several times last night about the rookies, quote unquote. It's more about the relationship from the vet or non-relationships with the vets that is killing their game.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's that. But I'll continue to watch and see how it plays out, but I'm very bummed out about CT leaving. Very bummed out. All right, that's it for us for tonight. We'll be back with you next Thursday night to talk all things for Survivor. We'll see if Keith decides to leave the game forever or go to Extinction Island, which is what we think he's going to do. We'll talk some Top Chef because we're nearing that, too. We're going to talk about that next week because I love Top Chef, so we need to discuss it every once in a while. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.